So what we saw in this first session was that in the Theravada traditions, when they talk about Vipassana practice, they're really talking about gaining these three insights of impermanence, suffering, and no self. In particular, we looked at this wisdom of no self. Of course, this doesn't mean there's no me, no person.
Tas nenozīmē, ka nav pavisam es vai personas.
The question is, how do we exist?
Jautājums ir par to, kā mēs eksistējam.
Now, experientially,
mūsu pieredzē šobrīd,
we tend to believe that we exist in this way, this self-sufficient, substantial way.
Un šķiet, ka mēs pastāvam tādā pašpietiekamā, stingri satveramā veidā.
That somehow mixed in here, but something a little bit more than the body and the mind.
Kas kaut kādā veidā ir saistīts ar ķermeni un prātu, bet ir kaut kas vairāk par to.
There's this extra thing, this third thing called me here.
Šis te kaut kas vairāk, šī te trešā lieta, ko sauc par es.
That doesn't seem to depend on anything else to exist.
Un mums šķiet, ka tas es nav atkarīgs ne no kā cita, lai pastāvētu.
In other words, very self-sufficient.
Citiem vārdiem, paši pastāvoši.
And seems very substantial and solid.
Un tas mums šķiet ļoti tāds, nu, reāls, eksistējošs.
But here in the Theravada tradition, if we can come to realize we do not exist in this overinflated way,
bet šajā termāts prakstē, ja mēs varam nonākt pie tās izpratnes, ka mēs neeksistējam šajā uzpūstajā veidā.
If we can let go of grasping onto this self,
ja mēs varam atbrīvoties pie pieķeršanās pie es,
we can eliminate all of our mental afflictions and suffering,
tad mēs varam atbrīvoties no visiem mentālajiem piesārņojumiem un ciešanām,
and achieve the goal of nirvana.
Un sasniegt nirvānas mērķi.
But then the Buddha went on to give further teachings,
bet tad Buddha turpināja sniegt mācības.
Particularly called the perfection of wisdom sutras or perfection of wisdom teachings.
Ko nodēvēja vēlāk par gudrības vai viedības pilnveidošanas sutrām.
Which formed the basis of what's called the Mahayana traditions.
Un tas izveidoja pamatu tām mācībām, ko sauc par Mahayanas tradīciju.
In these teachings, the Buddha said there is a deeper level of ignorance than just grasping onto self.
Un šajās mācībās Buddha paskaidroja, ka ir vēl dziļāks līmenis par pieķeršanos pie es.
At a deeper level, we're grasping onto subject-object duality.
Dziļākā līmenī mēs pieķeramies pie objekta un subjekta dualitātes.
There seems to be an independent objective world out there, and there seems to be an independent subjective me here.
Mums šķiet, ka ir kaut kāda objektīva tvarama ārējā pasaule un tāds subjektīvs iekšējais es.
And we believe that and we grasp onto that.
Un mēs ticam tam un pieķeramies pie tā.
But in these teachings that form the basis of the Mahayana, the Buddha said that how things are appearing to us is deceiving us.
Bet šajās Mahajānas mācībās Buddha teica, ka tas, kā lietas mums parādās, ir maldīgi.
In fact, there is no independent objective world out there.
Patiesībā nepastāv tāda objektīva, neatkarīga ārējā pasaule.
And there is no independent subjective me here.
Un nav tāda neatkarīga iekšējā es.
So in the Mahayana vehicles, which tradition which is considered also from the traditions from Buddhism spread through to China, Korea, Japan, Vietnam and Tibet, these are all part of the Mahayana traditions.
Šīs Mahayanas mācības izplatījās uz Ķīnu, Koreju, Japānu, Tibet.
And so in these traditions they also talk about the final goal of enlightenment.
Un šajās mācībās kā galvenais un galvenais mērķis ir apgaismība.
Not only enabling to liberate ourselves from suffering, but so we can help liberate everyone else from suffering as well.
Un tas nozīmē, ka mēs ne tikai esam atbrīvojuši sevi, bet esam spējīgi atbrīvot arī citus.
And the Mahayana traditions are based on the Sanskrit language.
Un Mahayana tradīcija ir balstīta uz sanskritu valodu.
And so here then the wisdom practice of course is called Vipassana.
Un šeit viedumu vai gudrības praksa tiek saukta par Vipassana.
In the Theravada traditions based on Pali of course it's called Vipassana.
Un Pali valodā ja mēs atmenamies to pašu sauc par Vipassana.
So here in the Mahayana traditions, when we talk about Vipassana practice, we're mainly talking about gaining this insight into no independent me, no independent objective world.
Mahayana tradīcijās, kad mēs runājam par šo, mēs runājam par to, ka nav tādas objektīvas varējās pasaules un nav tāda neatkarīga es.
So we're talking about gaining an insight into what's called emptiness, or in Sanskrit, shunyata.
Un tādējādi mēs runājam par to, ko sauc par tukšumu, vai sanskritā shunyata.
That everything is empty of independent existence. Nothing exists independently.
Ka viss ir tukšs no pašu pastāvošas neatkarīgas eksistences.
Now, this idea of independent existence, in the texts, we see a number of different terms to describe this.
Un tekstos šis te uzskats, ka lietas pastāv pašu pastāvošā veidā, tiek saukts dažādos terminos.
Probably the most common term you'll see here is the word inherent existence.
Viens no terminiem, ar kur jūs varēsiet sastapties, ir tāda iekšēji noteikta eksistence.
Inherent existence has the idea that things are self-existent. They exist within themselves. That the world is made up of many separate, discrete things.
Šitā iekšēji noteiktā eksistence nozīmē, ka katra lieta pati par sevi pastāv sevis noteiktā veidā un pasauli pastāv šādu lietu kopumā.
There is another term that's often used, and it's called things existing from its own side.
Cits termins, kas tiek lietots, ir lietas pastāv pašas no savas puses.
This pen existing from its own side means that it appears to us as if we are in no way contributing to the existence of this pen. It simply exists from its own side.
Tas, ka šis plumāsters pastāv pats no savas puses, nozīmē, ka tas neno kā cita nav atkarīgs.
That in fact the world is made up of many things already existing, just waiting for us to experience them.
Un šis uzskats nozīmē, ka pasaulē ir daudz tādas pašpastāvošas lietas, un tās tikai gaida, kad mēs tās uztversim.
There's another term, true existence, that's often used.
Vēl cits termins, kas tiek bieži lietots, ir patiesa eksistence.
Generally the word true, something is true if it doesn't deceive us.
Vārds paties visbiežāk apzīmē to, ka tas mūs nemaldina.
Now things appear to exist independent of us.
Mums šķiet, ka lietas eksistē neatkarīgi no mums.
If they actually were to exist in that way, they would be true.
Un ja viņas patiešām eksistētu tādā veidā, tad viņas būtu patiesas.
Meaning, the way in which they appear and the way in which they actually exist would match.
Tas nozīmē, ka tas veids, kādā viņas eksistē un tas veids, kādā viņas parādās, būtu vienāds.
So true existence simply means existing in the same way in which it appears.
Citiem vārdiem sakot, patiesa eksistence nozīmē, ka lieta eksistē tādā veidā, kā tā parādās.
So these are three terms that are commonly used to describe independent existence.
Un šie ir tie trīs termini, kas tiek izmantoti, lai raksturotu neatkarīgo eksistenci.
So they all mean the same thing, and they're describing the same thing from a slightly different perspective.
Tie visi nozīmē vienu un to pašu, tikai apraksta to katrs nedaudz no citā kursa.
So here, of course, the Buddha taught that things do not exist in this way. Nothing inherently exists. Nothing exists from its own side. Nothing has true existence.
Un Buddha mācīja, ka lietas neeksistē šajos veidos. Nekas neeksistē no savas puses. Nekas neeksistē neatkarīgi no vispārējā.
So the Buddha taught that things are empty of inherent existence, or in other words, things are not independently existent.
Tad Buddha mācīja to, ka lietas neeksistē neatkarīgā, pašpastāvošā veidā.
Why? Because they are dependently existent.
Tāpēc, ka tās eksistē savstarpēji atkarīgā veidā.
And the word here is dependent arising.
Un tas galvenais termins ir savstarpējā atkarība vai savstarpējā rašanās.
Arising here means coming into existence.
Savstarpējā atkarīga rašanās nozīmē, ka tā parādās.
So this means that things come into existence dependently, so things exist independently.
Nozīmē, ka lietas kļūst eksistējošas atkarībā no citiem apstākļiem un lietām.
So again, things are empty of inherent existence simply means things are not independently existent.
Un, ka lietas ir tukšas no pašu pastāvošas eksistences, tas nozīmē, ka tās nav neatkarīgi eksistējošas.
Why? Because they are dependently existent.
Pēc? Tāpēc, ka tās eksistē savstarpēji atkarīgā veidā.
So this is emptiness is this term, empty of inherent existence.
Un tukšums tieši to arī nozīmē, tukšs no pašpastāvošas eksistences.
So of course emptiness doesn't mean nothing really exists.
Tukšums nenozīmē to, ka nekas neeksistē.
It simply means nothing is existing independently.
Tas tukšums nozīmē, ka nekas neeksistē neatkarīgā veidā.
So to better understand what we mean by emptiness, it would be helpful to understand how are things existing dependently.
Un lai saprastu, ko īsti šis tukšums apzīmē, ir derīgi saprast, kādā veidā lietas pastāv savstarpēji atkarīgā veidā.
So in what way do things exist dependently?
Kādā veidā lietas ir savstarpēji atkarīgas?
The first way in which things exist dependently is they exist depending on causes and conditions.
Pirmā lieta, no kā lietas ir atkarīgas, ir cēloņi un apstākļi.
For example, for this clock to exist, it depends on lots of causes and conditions.
Piemēram, tas, ka šāds pulkstens pastāv, tas pastāv dēļ daudziem cēloņiem un apstākļiem.
One of the first conditions necessary was someone needed to think about designing this clock.
Viens no apstākļiem ir tas, ka kādam bija jāizdomā šī pulksteņa dizains.
And then, of course, all the raw materials needed to be collected.
Protams, bija jāsavāc visi izēju materiāli.
Refined and the various components manufactured.
Tad viss detaļas bija jāizgatavo atsevišķi.
And then, of course, all those components needed to be assembled.
Un tad visām šīm sastāvdaļām bija jātiek saliktām noteiktā veidā.
And then, of course, all the people and factories involved in that process also necessary.
Un, protams, bija nepieciešami arī visi cilvēki fabrikās, lai tas varētu notikt.
So, of course, without all those causes and conditions, we wouldn't have this clock here today.
Un bez visiem šiem cēloņiem un apstākļiem mums te nebūtu tās pulkstenes.
I think that's fairly self-explanatory.
Es domāju, ka tur visam vajadzētu būt skaidrs saprotamam.
Also, things exist depending on their paths.
Vēl lietas eksistē atkarībā no to daļām.
So again, this clock exists depending on its parts.
Arī šis pulkstens eksistē atkarībā no tām daļām.
without the plastic frame, without the buttons, without the electronic components and the screen and so forth, there would be no clock.
Bez visām plasmas detaļām, mazajiem knibucīšiem, ekrāniem tā tālāk, tas pulkstenis nepastāvētu.
So without all of these parts, of course, there would be no clock.
Un bez visām sastāvdaļām nepastāvētu arī pats pulkstenis.
So again, I think this is fairly self-explanatory.
Un es domāju, arī te vajadzētu visam būt skaidram.
But remember, this idea that things are dependent should be overturning our idea that they are existing independently.
Un mums vajadzētu atcerēties to, ka tā izpratne, ka lietas ir nepastāvīgas un savstarpēji atkarīgas, vajadzētu būt tai, kas izgaisina mūsu uztveri, ka lietas ir neatkarīgas.
But I think many of us here are quite happy to accept that this exists depending on causes and conditions and parts.
Bet es domāju, ka šeit mēs labi piekrītam, ka tas ir atkarīgs no cēloņiem, apstākļiem un daļām.
But at the same time, we're also quite happy to accept that there's a clock sitting here on the table when we walk in the door.
Tāpat laikā mēs mierīgi pieņemam, ka te ir pulkstenis, kas vienkārši tur atrodas, kad mēs ienākam pa durvīm.
True. But that shouldn't be possible.
Bet tam nevajadzētu būt iespējamam.
Because to understand that this is dependent phenomena should be overturning our idea that there's a clock existing here from its own side on the table.
Bet šai izpratnei, ka lietas pastāv savstarpēji atkarīgā veidā, vajadzētu izgaisināt to uztveri, ka te pastāv pulkstenis pats no savas puses.
But it doesn't seem to do that.
Bet mums nav tāda procesa.
Why?
Kāpēc?
Because our understanding of cause and conditions and some parts is quite superficial.
Jo mūsu izpratne par cēloņiem, apstākļiem un sastāvdaļām ir ļoti virpusēja.
To understand these at a deeper level, we have to understand the third way in which things are dependent.
Un lai to saprastu dziļākā veidā, mums ir nepieciešams vēl viens aspekts.
And here we have a number of different terms used, all meaning the same thing.
Un šim te trešajam aspektam atkal ir vairāki termini, kas visi apzīmē vienu un to pašu.
The things exist depending on imputation, labeling, conception and designation.
Ka lietas būtībā pastāv atkarībā no tām dotā nosaukuma vai vārda vai apzīmējuma.
So again, these are all four different terms meaning the same thing. And so when we look at that, we could think, I know what that means.
Un, kad mēs to paraugām, mēs varētu domāt, nu, es saprotu, ko tas nozīmē.
That we've got a thing here that we're just calling it a clock.
Ka mums šeit ir lieta, ko mēs vienkārši esam nosaukuši par pulksteni.
Again, a little bit superficial understanding.
Atkal, ļoti virspusēja izpratne.
Because when we look out on the world, what's really appearing to us is just a mass of sense data.
Jo tad, kad mēs raugāmies uz ārējo pasauli, viss, kas mums parādās, ir milzīgs kvantums ar dažādiem maiņu datiem.
Particularly visual data.
Jo sevišķi vizuāliem datiem.
And so, of course, we have to make some sense or meaning out of this data, otherwise we wouldn't be able to function.
Un, protams, mums ir jāspēj kaut kā sagrupēt visus šos datus, pretējā gadījumā mēs nespētu funkcionēt.
So what we do, of course, is that we create objects, we draw lines around various collections of data.
Un tas, ko mēs darām, ir, mēs izveidojam robežas ap šiem dažādajiem datiem.
And create meaningful objects.
Un piešķiram nozīmi katram no objektiem.
We have to do this. If we don't, we couldn't function.
Mums tas ir jādara, jo ja mēs to nedarītu, mēs nespētu funkcionēt.
But then, of course, we're existing in this world with others.
Bet mēs, protams, neeksistējam šajā pasaulē vien, mēs eksistējam kopā ar citiem.
And so in order to be able to communicate with others, we have to give names to these things that we've created.
Un lai mēs varētu saprasties un sazināties ar citiem, mums ir jāpiešķir šiem lietām un objektiem vārdi.
So this third point is about drawing lines and creating objects and then giving a name on top of that.
Un šis trešais punkts apzīmē tieši to, ka mēs novalkam robežas ap objektiem un piešķiram tiem vārdus.
And how we draw lines is not fixed, it's completely arbitrary.
Un tas, kādā veidā mēs novalkam šīs robežas, ir tāds pilnīgi brīvprātīgs process.
Completely dependent on the meaning that we want to get out of what we experience.
Tas ir atkarīgs no tās nozīmes, ko mēs vēlamies piešķirt tam, ko mēs uztveram.
For example, how many objects are there?
Piemēram, šajā zīmējumā, cik objekti tur pastāv?
How many objects?
Cik objekti?
Is there one star?
Vai tur ir viena zvaigzne?
Two triangles?
Divi trīstūri.
Six triangles?
Seši trīstūri.
Six triangles and a hexagon?
Seši trīstūri un seši stūris.
Or a collection of 18 lines?
Vai 18 līnijas.
So is there 1, 2, 6, 7 or 18 objects there?
Vai tur ir 1, 2, 6, 7 vai 18 objekti?
We decide.
Mēs to novēmjam.
There's not a star existing there from its own side, independent of our mind.
Tur neeksistē zvaigzne pat no savas puses, neatkarīgi no mūsu prāta.
We bring the star into existence by drawing one line around all of that data and creating the star.
Mēs varam tur izveidot zvaigzni, apvalkot lielo robežu tai apkārt un nosaucot to par zvaigzni.
Or we draw two lines and say there's two triangles there.
Vai arī mēs varam nogalkt divas robežas un teikt, ka tur ir divi trīstūri.
So we bring these things into existence.
Tā kā mēs esam tie, kas liek parādīties šīm lietām.
And that's what it means, we often see the term that things are merely labeled.
Un tas ir tas, ko sauc par vienkārši apzīmēšanu.
So this word merely means just or only labeled.
Vienkārši vai tikai apzīmēt.
Meaning it does not exist from its own side.
Proti, ka tas neeksistē pats no savas puses.
Another way of saying that is that the object is not findable in the basis.
Citiem vārdiem sakot, ka mēs nevaram atrast to objektu pašā bāzē.
There's no star to be found here amongst from its own side.
Mēs nevaram atrast tur zvaigzni pašu no savas puses.
We create the star.
Mēs radām zvaigzni.
So this is what the third point here means.
Tas ir tas, ko šis trešais punkts te nozīmē.
And of course we are continually improving our line drawing ability.
Un mēs nepārtraukti attīstām šo savu robežu nodokšanas spēju.
For example, when we come into a new situation, a new unfamiliar situation,
piemēram, kad mēs nokļūstam mums nepierastā, nepazīstamā situācijā,
we see something that's not familiar.
Mēs redzam kaut ko, kas mums nav pazīstams.
We don't know how to draw the line. We don't know if that's one thing, a collection of many things. We're struggling to draw lines.
Mēs nezinām, vai cik daudz robežu tur nodokt, tas ir viens objekts vai daudz objektu.
And then, of course, eventually we do something to try to make some sense or meaning out of that collection of data.
Un visbeidzot, mēs kaut kā, kaut ko aptuveni piešķiram.
So this is what we mean by things are merely labeled or existing through imputation, conception, designation.
Un tas ir tas, ka, ko apzīmē par šo vienkārši apzīmēšanu vai nosaukumu piešķiršanu lietām.
That they do not exist from their own side, that we bring them into existence through drawing the line and then giving the name.
Šie objekti neeksistē paši par sevi, mēs tos padarām eksistējuši caur nosaukumu došanu tiem.
So now let's have a look at this idea, using this idea to look at these two ideas again.
Un tagad izmantojot šo trešo punktu, paraudzīsimies atkal uz pirmiem diviem punktiem vēlreiz.
So this is a timeline.
Šeit ir laika līnija.
This is a seed.
Tā ir sēkla.
And this is the plant that it produces.
Un tas ir augs, kas no tās sēklas izaug.
So we say that the plant exists depending on causes and conditions.
Mēs sakām, ka augs eksistē no cēloņiem un apstākļiem.
The underlying cause, of course, is the seed.
Galvenais cēlonis ir sēkla.
And the conditions are, of course, soil, sunlight, water and so forth.
Apstākļi ir augsne, ūdens, saules gaisma un tā tālāk.
So of course we need those causes and conditions for us to have the plant.
un ir nepieciešami visi šie cēloņi un apstākļi, lai izaugtu augsts.
But we believe things exist independent of us.
Bet mums šķiet, ka lietas eksistē neatkarīgi no mums.
If that's the case,
un ja tas tā ir,
then there should be a fixed obvious point where the seed becomes the plant.
Tad vajadzētu būt stingri noteiktam identificējamam posmam, kur sēkla pārtūk par augu.
So at what point does the seed become the plant here?
Kurā brīdī sēkla pārtūk par augu?
Who can tell me?
Kurš var pateikt?
Where does the seed become the plant?
Kurā brīdī sēkla pārstājumot sēklu un tūk par augu?
Anyone?
Kāds?
When it's come above the ground.
This. So this is the plant? Everyone agree?
Vai visi piekrīt, ka sāk pārtot par augu, kad kaut kas parādās virs augstnes?
When we look at this, what we can understand is that we determine when the seed becomes the plant.
Tas, ko mēs varam saprast šajā diskusijā, ir, ka mēs esam tie, kas identificē, kad sāk pārtot par augu.
When this configuration of data stops looking like our concept of seed and starts looking like our concept of plant.
Proti, kad visi šie dati priekš mums pārstāja izskatīties pēc sēklas un kļūst līdzīgāk augam.
And so, of course, our concepts are all slightly different, so therefore there will be different points for each one of us that where the seed becomes the plant.
Un priekš mums šie koncepti var būt dažādi, un tāpēc katram no mums var būt savs nogrieznis, kurā mēs pateiksim, ka šeit tā ir sēkla un šeit tas ir augs.
So we determine when the plant comes into existence.
Un tātad mēs esam tie, kas nosaka, kad sēkla pārtūk par augu.
Here's another point here that can be helpful.
Vēl cits aspekts, kas tev būtu noderīgs.
We say that the seed and the plant are in a cause and effect relationship.
Mēs varam teikt, ka sēkla un augs ir cēloņu un sēklu attiecībās.
Now, if two things are in a cause and effect relationship, by definition, they cannot exist at the same time.
Un ja divas lietas ir cēloņu un sēklu attiecībās, tas nozīmē, ka tās nevar pastāvēt vienlaicīgi.
The question here is, does the seed stop existing before the plant comes into existence?
Un jautājums šeit ir tāds, vai sēkla pārstāja eksistēt pirms parādās augs.
So again, think about it very close, clearly. Does the seed stop existing before the plant comes into existence? There can only be two answers, yes or no.
Padomājam ļoti rūpīgi. Vai sēkla pārstāja eksistēt pirms parādās augs? Tā varbūt tikai divas atbildes, jā vai nē.
So what's the answer?
Un kāda ir atbilde?
No.
No means that the seed is existing at the same time as the plant, which is illogical if they're in a cause and effect relationship. So no is illogical.
Nē, atbilde ir neloģiska, jo tas nozīmē to, ka sēk un augs pastāv vienlaicīgi, kas nav iespējams no cēloņa sēku attiecībām.
But then if we say yes,
bet ja mēs sakam jā,
then the seed has ceased to exist,
tad sēk ir pārstājis eksistēt.
Where is the plant coming from?
Un tad no kurienes parādās augs?
Also illogical.
Arī nav loģiski.
Which means the whole idea of cause and effect is illogical.
Kas nozīmē, ka viss koncepts un ideja par cēloņu un sēku ir neloģisks.
Based on the belief of independent existence.
Balstoties uz priekšstatu par neatkarīgo pastāvēšanu.
And the great Indian master Nagarjuna from the 2nd century
lielais indiešu meistars Nagarjuna no 2. Gadsimta
has a whole text of 27 chapters of these sorts of arguments.
Viņam ir teksts no 27 nodaļām, kur viņš iziet cauri šādiem punktiem.
He says, you believe in independent existence? What about seeds and plants? How does that work?
Un viņš, piemēram, uzdod jautājumu, jūs ticat neatkarīgai pastāvēšanai, bet kā ir ar sēklām un augiem, kā tas notiek?
How does agent and action work?
Kā pastāv darītājs un darbība?
Fire and fuel.
Kādas ir attiecības starp uguni un degvielu?
All of these common sense ideas fall apart.
Visas šīs lietas, kas šķiet pašas par sevi saprotams, sadalās pa daļām.
So we can use some of these types of arguments to understand that things do not exist independently.
Tad mēs varam izmantot visus šos dažādos arguments, lai saprastu, ka lietas neeksistē pastāvīgi, neatkarīgi no citām lietām.
And so understanding, of course, that seeds and plants are merely labeled.
Un saprotot, ka sēklas un augi ir tikai apzīmēti.
Then we don't have this logical absurdity.
Tad vairs nepastāv šī loģiskā absurda lieta.
We're simply changing the label.
Mēs vienkārši nomainām nosaukumu.
Another point here.
Vēl cits punkts.
We say that the plant depends on the seed.
Mēs sakām, ka augs ir atkarīgs no sēklas.
Or in other words, the result depends on the cause.
Citiem vārdiem sakot, rezultāts ir atkarīgs no cēloņa.
But this view here is saying also the cause depends on the result.
Bet šis skatījums saka, ka cēlons ir atkarīgs arī no rezultāta.
How does the cause depend on the result?
Kā cēlons var būt atkarīgs no rezultāta?
How does the seed depend on the plant?
Kā sēkla var būt atkarīga no auga?
Anyone?
Idejas?
We can only talk about the cause.
Exactly. That's exactly the answer. You can't call something a cause if you don't have the idea result. You can't call something a seed unless you have the idea plant.
Mēs nevaram nosaukt kaut ko par cēloni, ja tam nav rezultāta. Tādēļ mēs arī nevaram kaut ko nosaukt par sēklu, ja no tā neizaug augsts.
Of course, whether or not it produces a result is irrelevant. Just to call it a seed or a cause implies result or plant.
Tas nav atkarīgs vai no tās sēklas kaut kas izaugs vai nē, bet pats šis koncepts ietver to, ka ir sēkla un augs.
So they are mutually dependent.
Tā kā pastāv šī savstarpēja atkarība.
So let's now look at parts.
Tagad paraudzīsimies uz sastāvdaļām.
And we use the pen here as the example.
Izmantosim pildspalvu kā piemēru.
So we say that the pen exists depending on its parts.
Mēs varam teikt, ka pildspalva eksistē atkarībā no tās daļām.
But is there a pen to be found here from its own side?
Bet vai šeit ir pildspalva, ko var atrast pašas no savas puses?
Is this a pen?
Vai šī ir pildspalva?
No.
Nē.
Is this a pen?
Vai šī ir pildspalva?
Is this tube a pen?
Vai no. Šī caurulīte ir pildspalva?
Is the plastic tube, just the plastic tube, is that a pen?
Vai arī pati mazā plasmasa caurulīte ir pildspalva?
Is the ink inside a pen?
Vai tinta ir pildspalva?
Is the round ball on the end a pen?
Vai galviņa ir pildspalva?
Is the other piece of metal a pen?
Vai tas metāla gabaliņš, kas tur galviņa, ir pildspalva?
Where is the pen?
Kur ir pildspalva?
And people go, oh, that's easy. It's the collection of that stuff.
Un tad mēs sakām, nu, vienkārši atbildi, tas ir viss kopums.
Here's the collection. Is this a pen?
Šeit ir kopums, vai tā ir pildspalva?
Oh, no, 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 no. Has to be in a certain shape.
Nē, 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 tam ir jābūt saliktam noteiktā veidā.
Okay, so you have to tell me when the pen comes into existence, okay?
Tagad mēs pasakāt, kad parādās pildspalva.
What about that? Oh, I don't need that now. So again, when we look at this, we can understand that we bring the pen into existence.
Un kad mēs uz to paraugāmies, tad mēs saprotam, ka mēs esam tie, kas nosakām, kad parādās pilspalva.
There is no pen to be found here in the basis.
Kā pašā pamatā nav jau pastāvošu pilspalva.
The pen comes into existence when this configuration of data closely enough resembles our concept of pen.
Mēs to nosaucam par pildspalvu tad, kad viss šī sastāvdaļas ir slikts pietiekoši pildspalvai līdzīgā stāvoklī.
And our concepts have usually at least two parts, appearance and functionality.
Un mūsu konceptiem ir divas daļas, izskats un funkcionalitāte.
So when this appears to be closely enough resembling our concept of pen, and it seems to function according to our concept of pen, then there's a pen.
Un kad izskats ir pietiekoši tos mūsu priekšstatam par pildspalvu, un funkcionalitāte ir pietiekoši to, tad mēs to nosaucam par pildspalvu.
If this pen existed from its own side as a pen,
ja pildspalva eksistētu pat no savas puses jau kā pildspalva,
it would mean that if a caveman walked in the door, they'd pick it up and start writing with it.
Tas nozīmē to, ka alu cilvēks varētu ienākt šeit durvīm un uzreiz sākt ar to rakstīt.
Maybe a caveman would see some sort of weapon to stab animals with. And if a dog came into this room, a dog may see some sort of chewing stick. And if a tiny ant came here, they may see some home where to live.
Un, ja maza skudriņa te ierastos, tad viņa redzētu to vietu kā dzīvošanas vietu.
So is this a pen, a weapon, a chewing stick or a home?
Tad kas īsti šis objekts ir? Pilsvalvā, graužamgabals, māja vai ierocis?
It's none of those from its own side.
Tas nav nekas, neviens no tiem pats no savas puses.
And it's all of those from the side of the subject.
Bet tas ir katrs no šiem minētajiem.
So what we're saying here is that the pen exists depending on its parts.
Tas, ko mēs sakām, ka pilsvalva eksistē atkarībā no tās daļām.
Normally we would say the pen is the collection of the parts, or this is a pen.
Parasti mēs teikt, ka pilsvalva ir sastāvdaļa kopums, vai ka tā ir pilsvalva.
But that's not saying the same thing.
Bet tas nav viens un tas pats.
So if we can understand those two statements are not saying the same thing, we're beginning to understand something about emptiness.
Bet mēs saprotam, ka šie divi apgalvojumi nav viens un tas pats, un mēs sākam izprast tukšumu jau labāk.
And the two statements are, again,
un, tad šie divi apgalvojumi ir,
the pen is the collection of the parts.
Pilsvalva ir sastāvdaļa kopums.
The second statement is the pen is merely labeled depending on the collection of the parts.
Un otrs apgalvojums ir, ka pilsvalva ir vienkārši apzīmējums, kas pastāv uz sastāvdaļu kopumu.
So again, if we can understand those two things are not saying the same thing, we're beginning to understand something about emptiness.
Un, ja mēs saprotam, ka šie divi apgalvojumi nav viens un tas pats, tad mēs sākam saprast tukšumu jau labāk.
So any questions about emptiness dependent arising before we break for lunch?
Un tad vai ir kaut kādi jautājumi par tukšumu un atkarīgo rašanos, pirms mēs dodamies pusdienās?
Excuse me, I may be slow, you know, in my explanation. Like, whenever I try to think about these things, when we think about emptiness, we see, like, all the world falls apart.
All the
world, but everything, yeah, things just fall apart. It's a total disintegration. Like, you don't find anything, you don't see anything. But on the other hand, we function as human.
Correct.
And when the very moment I just open my eyes, I have to function.
Correct.
And we only can function drawing the lines.
Correct.
Seeing Correct. The things.
Correct.
And the very moment I see things,
Correct.
Feelings and emotions and grasping arises. So I Correct. Can't really understand which part of me must see and yes. and yes. hold it. Because I only have mind, which has some natural function of driving objects existing in the world and have feelings and I can't see and can't find any other tool in myself, any other tool to realize emptiness. Where is that tool?
Yes.
Tad jautājums ir tāds, katru reizi, kad es domāju par tukšumu, tad visa pasaule kā sadalās pa sastāvdaļām, tā kā izšķīst, bet tad, kad es beidzu šo meditāciju par tukšumu, tad es atgriežos atpakaļ īstenībā un reālajā pasaulē ir nepieciešams novelkt visu šīs robežas, lai es varētu funkcionēt. Un tiklīdz es sāku novelkt šīs robežas, manī parādās pieķeršanās, visas emocijas un tā tālāk. Un tad es nevaru saprast, kurā brīdī man šis, kādā veidā man šī izpratne par tukšumu ir jāpielieto, lai tām būtu praktiski pielietojami.
In fact, the very next few topics exactly answer your question.
Patiesībā nākošie temati, ko mēs aplūkosim, tieši atbildus.
But to give a short answer now and then we'll give a very extensive answer in the next session.
Bet šobrīd dosim tādu īsu atbildi un tad pēc tam būs garāk.
Is that line drawing, of course, we need to do. And we can't function if we don't draw lines and give names. And of course we have to do that, and that's correct. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is we don't realize we're doing that. Intellectually, we may appreciate that we're doing that. But experientially, that's not how we relate to the world. So therefore, if we can bring that intellectual understanding of line drawing and giving names into experience through meditation,
bet, ja caur meditāciju mēs spējam saprast, ka mēs tikai velkam šīs robežas un funkcionējam tādā veidā,
then we can experientially see things as interdependent.
Tad mēs varam jau izjūt līmenī uztvert lietas kā savstarpēji atkarīgas.
And we can see things around us as being merely labeled.
Un mēs varam uztvert, ka lietas apkārt mums ir vienkārši ar notiem nosaukumiem.
And then we can function perfectly.
Un tad mēs varam eksistēt un funkcionēt ļoti labi.
But of course there's a lot more to talk about there, and I'll...
Just one more thing. What does it mean in this context, like experience? Because it's a conceptual action of the mind. It's only logic. But in my experience, things are physical.
Sure.
Like I see them, experience the world by five senses and
sure.
the mind.
Sure.
And there is nothing else.
Sure.
Like only physical senses, like view, like hearing, touching,
sure.
Smelling, and the mind, which makes concepts. So
sure.
What other experience are we talking about?
No other experience.
So how can we experience emptiness?
Through those using your mind.
But when I touch something, it is already it's an object. Okay, just there is no physical senses. So and mind, I think the mind is our logic, is our thoughts. It makes. I don't know. It makes constructions.
Correct.
So what other type of mind can experience?
No other type. No other type. Same.
So what experience we are talking about? I can't understand. Well, this is driving me crazy. Really. I've been thinking about that so much time.
The answer is not intellectual.
So what other mind besides the intellectual mind? Because
do you when you for example directly experience a cup, are you intellectualizing that or are you directly experiencing the cup?
I do not intellectualize this, but I think I construct it.
Correct.
I construct it on the base on my previous
sure.
experience and memory and things.
Correct.
I was taught.
Correct.
Like from childhood.
Correct. So if you experientially appreciate that you're constructing everything,
yeah.
that's an experience of emptiness.
But that doesn't, you know, ease my suffering.
Experientially, yes. Intellectually, no. That's the problem. Again, maybe we'll do this after, just a brief. I mean, again, as I said at the beginning, intellectually, we all understand this is changing moment by moment.
Tā jautājums bija par to, ka par kādu uztveri izjūtu mēs runājam, jo tad viss, ko es uztveru realitātē, es uztveru to caur piecām maņām, caur garšu redzi un tā tālāk, bet šī te izpratne, tā ir loģika, un loģika kaut kā neiet kopā ar to izjūtu, tad par ko mēs šeit īsti runājam, tā atbilde ir tāda, ka faktiski tā ir tā loģika vai izpratne, kas ir jāpārvērš sajūta izpratnē, jo mēs nevaram mazināt ciešanas, kamēr mūsu tā informācija ir tikai galvā. Tā mums tā jāpārnes izjūta līmenī, un tad tikai mēs varēsim mazināt ciešanas.
So even though we intellectually understand this is changing moment by moment, is that how we experience it?
Kaut arī mēs intelektuāli saprotam, ka šī krūze mainās no brīža uz brīdi, vai tas ir tas, kā mēs to pieredzam?
I think not.
Es domāju, ka nē.
Experientially, it seems like this is the same cup that was here yesterday, and it'll be the same cup here tomorrow.
Mūsu pieredzē tā parādās kā krūze, kas te bija jau vakar un būs arī rīt.
But we can't experience anything by our like physical senses. We can't experience anything else than objects. Like, and if we just try to turn off our senses, there is nothing more with what we could experience.
No, we're not. We're talking about interpreting our physical sense experience correctly.
Mēs runājam par to, ka mēs, ka mums ir jāinterpretē mūsu uztveras dati pareizā veidā.
But then it's disintegration.
No. Doesn't this change moment by moment?
Intellectually?
No. Scientifically. Scientifically.
Scientifically, yeah.
Is it disintegrating?
Yes.
It is? I mean, disintegrating meaning it doesn't function.
When you start to analyze it, it's functioning.
Correct. And the reason it's functioning is because it's changing moment by moment.
Tas iemesls, ka tā krūze funkcionē, ir tāpēc, ka tieši tā mainās no brīža uz brīdi.
Otherwise we couldn't create it, we couldn't destroy it.
Pretējā gadījumā mēs to nevarētu izveidot, mēs to nevarētu iznīcināt.
The very fact that it's changing moment by moment means it can function.
Pats fakts, ka tā mainās no brīža uz brīdi, nozīmē, ka tā var funkcionēt.
Yeah, and so this is what we're going to see this afternoon, and then we'll break for lunch, is that the same idea is that because of emptiness,
mēs to redzēsim, ka tieši tāpēc, ka pastāv šis tukšums,
things can function.
Lietas var eksistēt.
That's what we're going to be looking at this afternoon.
Tas ir tas, ko mēs
aplūkosim šajā. And that is the problem, and I'm going to explain why. For us,
tā ir tā problēma, un es paskaidrošu, kāpēc.
As you correctly said, for us as a beginner, emptiness seems that everything disintegrates.
Priekš mums kā iesācējiem šķiet, ka tukšums nozīmē, ka visam ir jāsadalās.
And it can't function.
Un ka tas nevar funkcionēt.
But that's only because we don't understand emptiness.
Bet tas ir tikai tāpēc, ka mēs nesaprotam, kas ir tukšums.
If we understand emptiness,
ja mēs saprotam, kas ir tukšums,
we'll understand that emptiness means things can function.
Mēs sapratīsim, ka tukšums nozīmē, ka lietas var funkcionēt.
Exactly. Emptiness and dependent arising are two sides of one coin.
Tukšums un atkarīgā rašanās ir viens un tās pašas lietas abas puses.
Emptiness means fullness, fullness means emptiness. Two sides of a coin. Exactly.
Tukšums un pilnība ir viens lietas abas puses.
So we're going to look at that this afternoon.
So
let's break for lunch there and we'll come back at 1:30.
Tā kā tagad pusdien pārkāpums un esam
atpēc vienu stīk. Does Buddhism is science, religion or wisdom and human being?
That completely depends on your definition of the word religion.
Jautājums par to, kas ir budisms, zināt, neraudīja vai kaut kas cits. Un tas ir atkarīgs no tā vārda, ko mēs piešķiram.
Of course, if religion, if your understanding of, and the word religion can be understood in many different ways.
Vārds reliģija var tikt uztverts dažādās nozīmēs.
If religion implies an external creator God.
Ja reliģija ir tikai reliģija, kurā pastāv ārējs radītājs Dievs.
Then of course Buddhism is not a religion.
Un, protams, ka budisms nav reliģija.
But if by religion you mean something more than the physical material reality,
bet ja reliģija mēs saprotam arī to, kas ietver izpratni par to, kā lietas eksistē.
Some higher level of happiness,
par to, kā gūt augstāku laimi.
Then of course we can call Buddhism a religion.
Tā, protams, mēs varam saukt budismu par reliģiju.
So it would completely depend on the definition.
Who was first, seed or plant?
Ah. Science says neither.
Does Buddhism go in so deep in?
Sure.
Because we are talking only about seed and
of course,
plant.
Of course, of course.
But where was the beginning?
No beginning. No beginning. Even according to classical physics, no beginning.
Jautājums par to, kas bija pirmais sēkla vai augs, zinātne saka, ka nebija neviens, ne otrs nebija pirmais, un arī budisms saka, naukstākumu.
Because even in classical physics, they talk about conservation of mass energy.
Jo pat klasiskajā fizikā tiek runāts par masas nezaudējumu, enerģijas nezaudējumu sakumu.
You can't create it, you can't destroy it.
I'm saying that's something about science. It's science and physics.
Sure. Sorry?
Okay. Because that's what I'm talking. That's a science because sure. Then you go into the physics, so it's,
sure.
It's kind of science.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. When we're talking this, it's science, isn't it? It's cause and conditions.
And also, I have a similar feeling like that lady was talking. This is a big mess in my head. It's like a chaos because I'm 100% a beginner.
Sure.
And is there a question about belief? Just believe it?
No.
What you're doing?
No. Logic. It's all logic, and that's what we're doing. Logic.
But at some point, you need just... It's nothing happens. No change in my life. Okay, I'm trying to do it. I meditate, but I don't see that that improvements. So does it mean that I just need to believe that?
No, absolutely not. No,
it's nothing about belief.
No, not blind belief.
Blind belief.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's why I'm always trying to look for explanation. Everything.
Sure.
Looking for sense for logic.
Exactly, and that's what we're starting to look at now, and we're going to continue in the next session. Some more more logic. Okay, let's break and come back at 1:30.